Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and other forms of entertainment. My name is Dan Morin. I know you haven't heard my voice for a while, but I'm back. I'm delighted to be reunited with the rest of my amazing superhero team. John Moltz is here. Hi, John.
How was space, Dan?
Space was fantastic. It's big. It's really big. It's hard to do it all, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Atmosphere was a little lacking, though.
Sure.
And it wouldn't be a superhero team up without our good friend Guy English. Hello, Guy.
Hey. It's really nice to have you back.
It's good to be back. I'm completed now.
You haven't been listening to the shows, I hope, because you've had better things to do. Also, they're not out yet because, you know, me. We slowly go from basically talking bad about you at the beginning to at the very end, we're just like, oh God, can't wait for Dan to come back.
We really
need him to save us.
Together. Yeah. Well, I'm back. I'm here. And we have so much to talk about because I've been gone for a little while and some stuff has happened. Both in that we were covering, of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which has now wrapped up. And there have been some other superhero-related announcements in the past few weeks because we had Comic-Con and we had D23 and all these big news events. So we should discuss some stuff. I think we should kick it off by just recapping this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And just sort of...
Can we go back 1 second?
Sure.
What is D23? It's Disney, but why 23?
It's the name of the fan club. There's like D23 is like the Disney fan club, and I think it's the day that it has something to do with Walt Disney. 1923.
Okay. So the day they put him in the cryogenic.
That's place. Right. No, 1923 okay. is the year Walt Disney founded the company.
I like it being the barcode on his cryogenic chamber. Okay. That's what it is from now on.
Just the head.
It's the rosebud of
it's
of
exactly. Okay. Right. Perfect.
His
I'm
head
good with
is
that.
In a snow globe. It's true.
Perfect.
He's literally in a snow globe.
Do they take his head off?
I first of all, this is all, I mean, some of this is,
this is not our bailiwick.
No, some of this is urban legend, I believe. I'm not sure how much of it is actually true.
John's turning on me. He's telling me it's not my ballywick, but John,
you know, you make a joke about it, but are we doing investigative reporting on this?
No, we're not. But come on, man, we talked about like plum trees for like 20 minutes.
That's true, we did.
Yeah, we could talk about Disney's severed head. Come on.
Apparently longstanding urban legend according to Wikipedia and his daughter.
Oh, okay. So he was just buried.
She would say
or
that,
whatever.
Yeah,
or,
well, I mean,
okay.
Yeah. Right. Maybe he went to the future. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Or the past.
Yeah.
No, we didn't know.
You know. It's in a jar floating around.
That's right. That's right. Out in space. I saw it while I was gone.
Mm. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw that in Futurama. A show that I have never actually watched, but I'm pretty sure they did. I'm 100% sure they did
it.
Disney.
A good show.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good show.
I know. That's what I hear. I just
and now, ironically, now owned by Disney.
Oh.
Yeah, right.
That's funny. So that episode's probably in the memory hole.
Well, that's exactly. They had to shut it down. They were getting too close.
Yeah, that's it.
That's why they bought
Fox. They had to buy Fox.
It was never about Spider-Man. It was about taking that one episode.
No, they didn't get Spider-Man, though, which is what we have to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Actually, we got so much to talk about. All right. Let's stop riffing on
stupid
Disney.
I love that it's Disney and everybody else, and I can't remember who everybody else is. Because
all right.
Okay, Dan, just, you know, put our bibs on. Put our bibs on and make us eat the carrots.
I gotta reel you guys in. All right, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We wrapped up this season, which was the whole thing with the Shrike and Azel and Sarge, and some stuff happened.
Yes,
that is true.
So, I mean,
this all checks out.
The most interesting thing, I think, though, of course, that we all want to discuss is kind of the aftermath of where this leaves things. To me, that is the most interesting part of this, because I felt like we were all very bullish on this season, and I enjoyed this season, but now having taken a few weeks distance from it, I really remember not a lot of what happens the last couple episodes. There's some cool
stuff. The last couple of episodes, you were, I mean, yes, I get it, but... So I'm not trying to dissuade you from this. You had better things on your mind than watching Marvel's Agents
it's
of
you,
S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's you, not the show, dude.
Oh, okay.
No, right. Yeah, you're holding it wrong, dude.
It's not you guys. It's me.
No, but you know what I mean?
There are some really good stuff in there. It's coming back now. Like, there were the zombies, and Deke flies a plane, and they brought Flint back. Like, there was some good stuff in there.
Yeah, I did enjoy it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I enjoyed it, but I'm also the part that I think is fun to sort of talk about is like what happens at the end and where that sets us up for the next season. I'm kind of intrigued by that, and especially because some of the reports that have been coming out are things like I think Hayley Atwell is going to be on the show next year at some point.
God bless Hayley Atwell.
I watched this. It's funny, the Friday night we went out and we saw that the Springsteen movie, the movie about the kid London who is a big Springsteen fan, and Hayley Atwell's in that movie, and she's amazing even in the 1980s.
She's timeless.
Exactly. Well, also it's a Springsteen movie, guys, so that's a tie-in for Arrow with the Springsteen episode. So
are you kidding? Really between thematic. Hayley Atwell and Springsteen, that's a tie-in for my heart.
It's a good tie-in. This movie's about Guy, basically.
Okay. I don't. Is it?
I don't know. I don't.
I've seen the movie.
Could be. It's about a kid who really identifies with Bruce Springsteen. Anyways, it's not superhero related, really.
That's okay. So
he's a New Jersey superhero.
That's true. They call him the Boss.
That's his code name.
We're throwing out random Springsteen trivia.
I'm out, actually.
Asbury Park.
Darkness on the Edge of Town. 10th Avenue freeze out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Rest in peace, Clarence Thomas.
Are we doing the ritual on the season?
What do we need to be done?
We can do it.
Haven't listened, but I've been assigning you random sort of bad scores for the past few episodes.
Wait, hold on. You've been assigning scores like as though I were scoring things, or you've been assigning those scores to me?
Yes. 100. No,
you're like,
yes.
Dan,
100,
Dan's former, a John Jr. Former. If I ever saw one.
I mean.
Oh, I have another
little,
question. Sorry.
It feels a little awkward, but yeah, that's exactly what
I
would have done.
I do want to say this.
You were really down on the last few episodes.
You've been voting a bunch of John Juniors. You haven't given an Alex, but you know.
So tangential to that, and not really related to superheroes again, but I started binging this show called Imposters. That's actually pretty great. But one of the main characters in it is the actor who played Alex.
Oh my god.
Oh really?
He's really good.
I never really thought it was him, but you know.
It's got nothing to do with him.
Just writing let him down because he was really good in this
written
show.
Like a wet blanket. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a wet blanket inside a wet paper bag is what that guy was. And
yeah.
It's not the guy.
Also, he's very attractive. I had forgotten that.
No, he's a good-looking fella.
Yeah.
For sure. The chiseled jaw. He was just set up to die, basically.
Yeah, no, it was a bad role. Yeah. The role was not great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyways, I just want to throw that out there. I saw him, and I was like, I wonder if this show's going to be any good. And it turns out that it's pretty good, so I recommend it.
Cool. Okay.
A comment I thought about this season is it almost seems like they had an idea to do a whole season of 22, 3 episodes, whatever, and they just decided we're going to drag it out for two seasons instead, and then they cut it and added an episode to each season. I mean, because normally they would, at least as the pattern of the last few seasons of the show, they do an arc in the first half, and then they do a slightly related arc in the second half.
Oh, so you think the Coulson as LMD effectively, well, actually, he just isn't LMD, is the mid-season break.
Yeah, basically, because they would, you know, they set up the Chronicom thing,
as the B
plot for the first half of the season, and then in the second half of the season they would have to deal with the Chronicoms.
So that kind of makes sense to me. I mean,
which is okay. I don't really care that much. I just thought, like, well, because no. It's, you know, it's almost half, it's a little bit more than half the episodes.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. If we were tasked with doing this, which do not do that, especially because Berlanti has a lawsuit outstanding, and I'm pretty sure we can't get work in the industry. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Greg. You know, but you were loved while you were here. I would do the same thing, right? Like, they know that doing this, that kind of cadence, right? Like, you know, build up to a mid-season, break it, do the next one, has been working for them.
Yeah.
Right. If you're given a season that's half as many episodes, why not just be like, well, screw it. We're...
Yeah.
Same plan, everybody. Like, yeah. Just run the same play.
I'm just interested in why they decided to do that this, you know, now. And then they have announced in the last week that what we thought was going to start in December, right? I mean, we had thought the next and final season would start in December.
I think there was something about that at one point that it was the end of the year, but now it's next summer.
And
it's funny because, like, you know, I've watched some interviews at Comic-Con with the cast and stuff, and they were like filming the last episodes of next season.
They're done.
Yeah, so they're basically done. That's in the can, and then it's going to be another year before it airs. And it's like, that's a weird decision.
Exactly. That's why I think it's very strange. I think it's very weird that they've done it this way. But
they must have numbers on that. Like, you know,
I guess. Yeah. I don't know why, but
they've got numbers on other things that they would rather, like. There's only, I mean, I don't want to blow anybody's mind, but time is finite.
What?
Time is finite. And, you know, there's only so many time slots. Right? It's like we have things that perform better in these time slots at this during the winter. So,
well, and then the other thing is Disney Plus is launching in November.
Yeah, I wondered if that was part of the calculus here.
That's
got to
be what it is, right? I mean, and so they don't want anything to compete with Disney Plus, and so the stuff that they have, they're going to hold until it gets a good head start.
But also it also gives them an opportunity to do sort of a soft lead into the Marvel shows that are coming next year, because the debut ones, the Falcon one and the Wanda and Vision one, they don't start till next fall, and the Loki one too. So this, you know, if you run this in the summer, basically up until the fall, then you can kind of like always have a Marvel show on the air starting from them. So
those don't start until fall 2020?
Yeah, I believe that is true.
Okay. Okay.
I just want to take a step back here and pat ourselves on the back for pivoting naturally into the next topic, which is Disney Plus dropped a bunch of stuff. That's a little wild. Yeah. I know Dan has, and I share it, Dan has an opinion on Falcon. Yeah, I love that you laughed before I even said it, because, you know. The Immortals is coming out. Revealed costumes for Eternals.
Sorry. Eternals, yeah.
Whatever.
You're thinking of us. We're the Immortals.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Very Highlander of us.
Which one? Yeah. Well, it can only be one.
Uh-oh. Yeah. I was not prepared for this show.
I forgot about that. Never mind.
God knows it's going to end up being Molt somehow. I don't know.
Tripped, decapitated myself by accident. It's a real one.
I don't know if there's anybody, you know, anybody who should be a Scotsman playing a Spaniard. I think it should be James, really.
That's fair point.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair point.
Actually, yeah.
Well, I just want to say that
James Thompson, whose episode has not come out yet.
Yeah, this podcast is holy ground, so no fighting on this podcast, just so we're clear.
Right. Okay. Got it. Yeah. The ironic thing is that Maltz is going to become the only one of us left alive after a plane crash that kills everybody else, and miraculously somehow Molt just walks away.
I'll just stumble out of the plane.
Yeah, you'll be fine, like untouched. It's
very unbreakable.
And you'll be like, what was I worried about all these years? That's no big deal.
I was watching a season 4 episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. earlier today, and it's the one where Ghost Rider fights the Australian inhuman guy who can like blow things up, and they
oh yeah
and it's in a fireworks
factory
place. And Max says, "Did two guys who burst into flames just fall into a fireworks factory?" And Coulson sort of shrugs and said, "You had to see that coming." He does a number of, like, you know, basically breaking the fourth wall comments.
Yeah, yeah. Mac is, I think, one of my favorite guys on the show, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. No, Mac is terrific.
He's just a hard, like, he's kind of the Biff of the show. You know, he's like a hardworking guy. Right. He's not juiced up in any way. He deals with troubles that comes up. Doesn't always succeed, but he's trying to do his best, you know? So
he's got a shotgun axe, which is hard to argue with.
Yeah, yeah. It's really hard to beat the shotgun axe, too. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll never forget the scene where that classic scene where he cuts off Coulson's hand. That was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So two things. A, did we want to do a ritual on the season?
I think we probably should.
Yeah,
I mean, think
it's not going to be surprising. I don't think.
That, I don't think so.
Dan has negative thoughts about the last few episodes. I know.
Yeah, Dan's been real negative in the past couple of episodes. So.
I'm a jerk. What can I say?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give it a miff.
No, you're not. You're a really lovely fella. I am a jerk. Most just laughed.
All right, let's do a ritual on this one. Guy, take it away.
Seasons of Biff. To be perfectly honest, I wasn't jazzed about covering Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I liked the show. I followed the show. I didn't pay as much attention as I did to Arrow. I was not sure how we could riff on it as much. Mostly because Arrow has, like, a... Are you laughing already? Arrow has a pattern.
That makes it a little bit
easier to sort of, like, poke fun at and, like, you know, give us the room. It's fine. They have book clubs every at least twice an episode. Speaking about S.H.I.E.L.D., I don't think I've said book club once. they managed to do things in a better way on this show, which I thought would make it more difficult to just sort of, you know, shoot the breeze about. This is a really good show. They did a really good job this season. It is undoubtedly a Biff of a season. I'm looking forward to the next one. And I don't know. I'm glad that we changed up our formula and we sort of expanded beyond just covering Arrow, because I think this was worth it. If we'd gone to cover Flash, I would have been sad. But we didn't. You know, we had the wherewithal to actually pick a really good show.
A show that's good.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Yeah, I mean, Flash is popular.
Yeah.
This is good.
It's better.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Flash is popular.
Right.
This is a better show. So, there you go. Yeah. Biff.
All right, John.
Yeah, not surprisingly, also a Biff. I mean, I have been vocal about this, and I've been cracking about it in Slack channels about how I have somehow turned into the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. super fan. But I legitimately love this show, and I really like the whole run. I really do. I mean, I know the first two seasons are not as good as the other ones, but seasons 4, 5, and 6 are terrific. But I still, there's stuff about season one that I love so much. I mean, Simmons and Fitz getting trapped under the ocean, and then, you know, their whole interaction down there, and then breaking out and coming up, and you think, oh my god, they're still screwed because they're stuck in the middle of the ocean, and then who shows up? It's terrific. So I think this season continues a strong trend.
Yeah, I agree. I've started watching again. I'm in season 2. I'm lagging behind because I started watching The Boys, which the episode hasn't been released yet. And given that Dan is actually capable and competent, this will probably come out before that one does.
Oh boy!
My
numbering just got harder.
No, why? Whatever. It's just add one to whatever the last one was. It's not that difficult. And it's not like it's timely. We just talked about The Boys.
Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly stuff, man.
Right. Yeah, right. With a Scotsman, so it makes sense. So I took a break to watch The Boys, which is, as I said in that show, well, I mean, download it and listen to it, but it gets better in that it stays true to itself, and I understand a little bit more about what they were trying to do. A lot of the things that John and I complained about at the time sort of get addressed, but not enough that makes me feel good about it.
I haven't seen anything other than the pilot, but the first episode. So
right, so there's definitely a hashtag Me Too sort of narrative that goes on for sure, based on the stuff that we saw in the first episode. It's interesting. I get why people would like it. It's still not necessarily for me. I haven't finished it yet. But anyway, that all of that to say that S.H.I.E.L.D., top to bottom, beginning, like, tip to toe, is tip to toe? Is that a thing?
It's cool. It's cool. I was going to let it go. Whatever.
Just roll with it. Roll with it. It's great. All of it's pretty good. The first couple of seasons were rocky. I'm starting season three now. But, really, really good. It's made this project feel good and worthwhile.
Aww.
If we're perfectly honest, I mean, we do this because we just like talking to each other and cracking jokes. But, watching the show again is pretty good. Like, I have no regrets.
I have one regret. It went ding.
Oh, that I went ding? Sorry, I didn't. Ding.
Someone's yeah, phone. No, I someone's got a, phone.
I got yeah. a, sorry, I got a text from my gal here.
He's got to go.
He's got, yeah. Well, no, sorry.
No, no, no. I love, yeah,
I love
no,
talking
no,
to
no.
you guys, says guy, as he's like, but now I have to
yeah,
leave.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Got to get out of here. No, it's a Tim and Eric clip.
It's fine. Okay.
Which I think is probably going to be pretty funny. So I'm kind of, I'm really, yeah, I know. I'm really tempted to just kind of hit play. But anyway, I'm going to.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of these moments, I'll get a rating in. I think I would agree with the Biff rating. I won't be the downer this time. I kind of like looking back now. I think that the thing that the hardest thing I think in almost any superhero show is the villain, right? Like I just saw actually on one of the TV websites I read, TV Line, they did a ranking of all the villains from the Arrowverse, like from every show, and I agreed with both their last place and their first place, but in the middle, boy, was there a lot of things I was like, really? Yeah, put that. I mean, like Savitar made the top 10. It's like, really? No. What?
Yeah, no.
No. No, I mean, but terrible. Like Slade was number one. It's like, I can't disagree with that. Like,
yeah,
you know, right. and Vandal Savage was in last place. And I can't disagree with that either. Like,
I don't know. They kind of redeemed him now.
Yeah, they said that. Yeah, but like that doesn't actually fix the first season of Legends.
No, it doesn't.
But villains are hard, I guess, is my point. And I'm not convinced that Izel is a fantastic villain.
No, she's not.
So I think that's where the biggest weaknesses in this season lie for me is that I don't think she is a great villain, but she's fine. She does the job she needs to do. And some of the stuff with Sarge and, you know, his powers and stuff, it's all right. I kind of see where they were going. It didn't go the direction necessarily I thought it would, but, you know, I think we all kind of knew the writing was on the wall for how that was going to work out.
Right.
But the
that's what I mean. We commented. I mean, I kind of like it that they didn't go the way that we thought it would go.
Right.
Right.
Like, yes.
It seemed like, you know, that was the obvious thing, right? Somehow he's going to turn into Coulson. Like, somehow he's going to be made into Coulson. And nope.
Yeah.
They didn't do that.
We didn't do that.
They
totally
pulled
fine.
The rug out from under us in the last episode, and then they reintroduced another Coulson.
Right. So I loved that. You kept thinking this guy was going to turn. He's a real life, flesh and blood human being. He's going to turn into Coulson, and then he doesn't. He turns into basically like a white Martian from DC.
Yeah.
And now we get like an LMD Coulson, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah. No, I also thought a lot of people were going to die in the finale. Like there are some really good head fakes in the finale. With
I mean,
like, I thought
enough people did.
I was like.
But yeah, we lost our boy.
Yeah.
But I Maximilian really, Maximilian Davis.
Right.
But yeah. I thought May was gonna, like, I really thought they might kill off May before the last season. I was like, I can kind of see why. Like, I would be surprised, but at the same time, like, with one season to go, like, maybe that would be the time, you know, for her to move on. But like,
me too.
And that scene where they like throw her into the portal and stab her, and I was like, holy crap, like, I think maybe that's it.
Like, she comes back, like, and she's the bad guy next season.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Right, exactly.
Yeah, like, I went on a real digression about that. That did not make any sense. You'd be shocked to hear. But but like, it was like conspiracy corner turns a corner into conspiracy avenue, and you know, it got weird. But I didn't understand why she got stabbed and then thrown into the thing, which is going to rejuvenate her. Like, I couldn't. I had a hard time understanding the motivations behind that. On the other hand, like John said, I really, really, really believed that Coulson was going to be rehabilitated somehow.
Right.
And the fact that they didn't do it is a testament to just how good the show is.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they did a nice job of setting up the Chronicom thing, because I kept expecting it to come back and be a bigger deal. And it certainly has a big impact. And those last,
do you care about
episodes.
The Chronicons? Because I don't care.
I mean, they're
cool and they're fine. And I expected them
to come back because it was set up, right? Like, that was.
I did really.
But
do you have any emotional attachment to that at all?
Only Enoch. And I really loved his reappearance, even though I knew it was going to happen. Like, I kept looking at that one guy and being like, I think that's Enoch. I think that's him. But no, I mean, that's whatever. I like our team the best when they're kind of on the run against insurmountable odds. Like, that to me is actually the most entertaining.
Yes.
Or like, when they don't know where, like the whole thing with the space season where they're like, we're in this place, we don't know, we have to like learn an entirely new system, and like, we have to kind of roll with the punches. Yep. Or the framework, right? Like, I think that that's the best, is when our team is like kind of out of water, like fish out of water, and has to figure out like the rules of this new system. So that's one reason that I'm really looking forward to next season, is I feel like they're teeing that up again, where it's like, all right, you were throwing them into a different situation, a different world, and they have to kind of adapt and figure out. And it also does a nice job of reinforcing our core relationships, which is what makes this show fundamentally so compelling, is all the people and the characters and their relationships with each other. And for me, especially, that's what makes so much of this season a biff, is that the relationships between all the characters are so strong and the characters themselves are so well drawn, that it's always fun to watch, even if the plot is sometimes a little bit
you could have a stinker of an episode, but be like, oh look, everybody had a great character moment, so perfect.
Exactly
you take away. I mean, a show that, you know, Dan and I both watched, like Castle,
you
know, there could be some weak ones, but Nathan Fillion and oh my god, I'm gonna forget
Stana Katic. Cottage?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. That's probably why I forgot her name. You know what? Good. Cool. Riffing along. The supporting cast is great.
Reputedly hated each other, too, which is one of those things where you're like,
I know.
How?
Oh, in real life?
Yeah. It's so fascinating because their chemistry is really good. And like,
I know. Well,
I don't want to believe it. I kind of just leave it alone and just be like, all right, maybe that's true, but I don't want
to. I try not to follow that stuff. Yeah, also,
you don't need to know, really.
No,
it doesn't
really
matter
at all. I honestly don't care.
Also,
who hates Nathan Fillion?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is he a jerk in real life or something?
Well, so right, more to the point, because I think that
I mean, he's Canadian. Said, come on,
I know exactly. Man, we're going to get a lot of letters from readers.
That's true.
Being like, you know what, I do hate the Canadian on the show. More to the point, because I feel like that statement puts it the onus on her. How does Nathan Fillion hate anybody? He doesn't. That seems weird.
That's true
to me.
I don't know
how it works.
We've gotten off topic again. Surprising no one.
But rewinding a little bit. To your point about the team when they're on their heels are the best. That's one of the things I loved about Star Trek growing up, is that the number of times the ship is in dire straits, like everything is bust, nothing works. Scotty's got to crawl into a tube, and Spock's basically yelling at him to, like, you know, do this, do that, and like that under pressure stuff is amazing.
My favorite episode of the original series is Amok Time.
Yes. Yep.
Where you know, basically the whole the ship's going down, and they're all like totally acting out their worst emotions.
What are they doing, John? I'm giving it to you. What are they doing?
They're tripping balls, man.
They're tripping balls, buddy. Yeah, they're tripping balls.
Well, I was going to say, along those lines, it's the same reason that Empire Strikes Back is my favorite movie. That movie is entirely about our heroes being on their heels.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same thing. That's why I like Iron Man, in that his powers get degraded as his suit takes damage, basically, right? Similar kind of situation. Like, he ultimately ends up having to think on his feet in order to solve problems. When he's Superman, you're either hit with kryptonite or you're good.
Or you're golden,
Yeah, right. Which is, like, it's cool. There's a value to a Superman-style character. It just doesn't call to me as much as, like, you know, dealing with adversity and overcoming it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is sort of why I think Batman is really popular. It's like, I don't know, you hit that guy hard enough with a crowbar, he's going to hurt. That's going to sting, you know?
Same reason I think that the first two seasons of Arrow, right? Like, you know, he's on his own, and he is depleted of some of his resources, and, you know, he gets shot a few times and poisoned and all this different stuff, right? Like, that's and that's interesting to watch, as opposed to when you have a super team of people, and then it becomes more about what are their personal problems like.
Right, exactly. Like, season one of Arrow, when he goes
secrets.
Up. Right, yeah. I can't believe you didn't tell me about that.
the time he went to lunch without me.
Yeah, the time he went to lunch without me.
His biggest weakness is his vulnerability is FOMO.
That's pretty true. When he first faced Malcolm Merlyn, I don't know, Malcolm had a bunch of hostages, and the police were cordoned off the area, and all they went in to try to fix it. And Malcolm beat the crap out of him, and he ended up in hospital. That's awesome. Yeah. That's a show I want to watch. It's like, you know, he tried his best, but he got the crap beaten out of him. Even the end of that first season, which I'm happy we covered that, is he only wins by ultimately stabbing himself through the chest to try to get Malcolm.
Is it literally like a Pyrrhic victory almost?
Yeah. It really is. It's just desperation. And they don't add, here's the thing, he doesn't even win. Because there's two earthquake machines and they only stop one.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right.
Man,
he loses his best friend.
Yeah.
You got to have stakes, right? That's what it comes down to. Back.
Right. Exactly. You've got to, you've got to have stakes, and that show delivered, it, at least in season one and two.
And I think that
arguably season five. But
I do think that's true about S.H.I.E.L.D. too. Like, a lot of it, I mean, the stakes are different. But, like, for example, the stakes that were sort of led to believe going into this season, of course, that, like, Fitz and Simmons get split up again, because their brains, when they're together, are too much of a known quantity. And it's like, yeah, that sucks. That's a stake. Like, I feel people are invested in their relationship, including me. So, you know, that's an issue.
And they're used to it.
Yeah, that's right. I do love that bit. I did love that bit at the end of the one.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
We called that out, too. It was like, that's perfect. Like, it seems somebody drops a real heavy line on them, like, oh, look, you'll be separated. And they're like, it's cool.
Again?
It's good. Again, it's fine. Yeah, not a problem. And I love that. I love that, you know, separated by space-time, whatever obstacle you throw in front of us.
It's cool. Yeah, it's a little weird and... Yeah, because I'm watching season four right now, and they're living together, and that which is very odd.
Yeah, it's like, too easy.
Wow, they did have, like, for a minute there, they had, like, an actual relationship.
That's right.
Wait, did they stop living together at some point?
Well, they were... Well, just that they're... I mean, they don't see, like, they're busy, so they're not seeing each other that much, but, like, that's what they're complaining about, is just because they're so busy with work.
Oh, okay.
But they're actually, they're actually living together. I mean, you know,
they're in the same time and space.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah. And, okay. And living in the same, like, apartment now.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a pick up your socks, take out the garbage kind of situation. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. We've done our rating of this season. We are all very positive on it. I think I am certainly excited for the next season. I love time travel stuff, and I feel like it's nice because this is something we haven't really seen S.H.I.E.L.D. spend a lot of time in the past, and there is such a rich history to dig through there, and there's so many other characters that could be brought in, which is exciting. So I'm super excited for that. I'm kind of curious.
You're going to get Hayley Atwell.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if you get Peggy Carter, you're golden.
Yeah, really.
You're golden.
Peggy Carter is showing up. I don't want to hear anything. Don't complain.
I'm not complaining.
It's already
I'm
excited. A biff.
Not you. No, I'm talking to our D readers. I'm actively trying to make people stop listening to the show.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. I don't know.
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
Was a clip.
I'm not wrong. I'm right.
I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was a clip of some footage. That very little and mainly
right.
Sort of
and it doesn't involve
period.
Any of our heroes really.
It does not. It involves our villains and it's set in the 1930s or so. I'm interested to see where this goes. It could be like a jumping around through time thing. It could be spending a lot of time in the past, but I kind of like the idea of them jumping through S.H.I.E.L.D. history. That feels like a fitting end to the show.
Right.
Was everything villainous happening in the 1930s?
No, it's pretty quiet.
Well,
not much.
The Chronicons are there.
Yeah, yeah. Here's where we put a music drop and then transition into the next subject.
Yeah. Speaking of which, should we move on to some superhero sweep? We've already started talking about a variety of other things that have happened, but I think it is time to officially draw the line to superhero sweep. Disney announced three new series coming to Disney Plus that are Marvel related. We've got She-Hulk, we've got Moon Knight, and we've got Ms. Marvel, all of which are very welcome additions. I'm delighted to see a Ms. Marvel show just because I think that she has proved to be such a... There haven't been, I think, a lot of characters who have sort of broken through that tier in the last couple decades. I would say you got Miles Morales, who finally got his own vehicle, and you have Kamala Khan, and it's about time that she got some recognition in the MCU.
That comic book has been consistently good since it began.
Yeah, I'm very behind on it, but I read a bunch of it at the beginning, and it was great. It's just fantastic, and it feels wholly new to me in some ways. Like it's not just because the characters
it's
are new.
Fresh. I mean,
but it has such a different perspective and a different what's the word I'm looking for? It has different feel, different flavor to it. And I like that.
Can you guys
like
just describe the character or like the? I mean, look, everybody knows Spider-Man. Bitten by a radioactive spider, blah, blah, blah. Like, what's the deal?
She's an Inhuman. She's a Muslim-American Inhuman living in New Jersey. Like, small town. I mean, not super small town, but small city in New Jersey. Jersey City, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, well, so
at one point, she's in the Avengers, I guess. And then they're like the whole, like... One of the big superhero fight things happens where they get mad at each other and then she and some of the other ones leave.
But essentially,
form the champions.
What I like a lot about her as a character, at least in the early volumes, are one, she is a character predominantly concerned with sort of street level villainy.
Yeah.
A la your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I think that's a big move. She basically gets to take on the Ms. Marvel name because she is a big fan of Carol.
Right.
And so, you know, Carol, of course, has taken the Captain Marvel name. So she sort of bestows the Ms. Marvel name on her, which is great.
Okay. So she doesn't just take it. It's actually like she meets.
It's like an homage to and Carol definitely signs off on it at one point.
She picks her uniform based on Carol's.
Old one.
The combination of her old uniform and her new uniform, basically.
Right, but her old uniform is a little bit more sexy than
what Carol's was.
Well,
yes.
Carol's was, but mainly
Kamala's is like full cover. Like,
yeah,
right.
She's got the lightning bolt.
Kamala just has better sense, basically.
Right.
Yeah. Her power is that she can like basically embiggen like her body is not quite like like elongated man.
Embiggen is not a word.
It's a cromulent word.
It's perfect.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I will not let.
It's a perfectly cromulent word.
Fine.
I'm reading a book right now about the dictionary and about words, and I will tell you.
You're reading a book about the dictionary?
Yes, it's true.
How did you ever get married?
She doesn't know.
She doesn't know. That's your guilty secret.
I like words.
She can grow bigger and smaller as well.
Yes.
Okay, so I've seen her. So I haven't read it. I appreciate that a bunch of people really love the character, and that makes me just want to support her totally. The images I've seen look like a little bit Mr. Fantastic, but not quite. Like it's
fair.
Not like she's like a Plastic Man kind of thing, right?
Right, right. She's more like a balloon.
Yeah, but he can't change
almost.
His mass.
Yeah,
she can change her mass, so she can make her fist like huge, and it's actually weighty and like you know.
Yeah, that'll mess you right up.
And they eventually figure out, spoiler alert, they eventually figure out that she's borrowing her mass through time.
Whoa.
So, like, you know, because sometimes she shrinks. And so when she shrinks, that means, like, at some other time, she can borrow that mass to be big.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is an amazing superpower that it, like, I love the rules behind that.
Yeah, right.
I really love it. I really, really love it. That's because it puts an upper limit on what she can do to increase her mass.
Mm-hmm.
And it requires her to shrink at some point. Like if
she's
just masked out all
like
of,
an even amount of both, I guess.
Right. Well, yeah. But it's like dieting, right? Like if she just masked out all the time and just beat the crap out of everybody, she's gonna spend her old age as like 6 inches tall.
We've all been
could be
there.
Worse. Could be worse.
Yeah. Anyway, that's cool. I dig it.
Yeah. Okay. So she's a great character. She has a huge following in the comics, I think.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a smart of them to tap into that. And certainly from a perspective of trying to diversify your lineup of heroes, she's also a great choice there as well.
Female
and
Muslim
American.
That's
also extremely interesting. I mean, you know, I don't know much about that community. And you do get an insight into that, which is a nice thing.
Yeah, I suspect, and I hope the show is written by people from that community, or at least connected to it enough that
I think they announced a writer on it, and I'm trying to remember who it is, but yeah, there is a, I can't remember the name, but there was a writer announced, and I believe they were from the community, but yes. And they go a lot into, one of the things I do like about the Ms. Marvel comics is they do spend a decent amount of time with her family and her friends and like, you know, it's not something that is belabored, but it is just a look into that, the life of people from that community, from that background. And
that's cool.
It's really well done.
Because here's the thing. That's what Spider-Man was. That's what Peter Parker was. You hang out with his friends, he's going to... He's a white teenager going to school and university and all of that. But those comics were as much about Peter Parker as they were about him being Spider-Man, right?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I mean, awkward teen, I guess, is...
Right. Yeah. Which is, at the time, in, I don't know, 68... somewhere around there, that
was earlier. Yeah,
earlier. 64.
Spider-Man was early, so like 64 or something.
Yeah, 64. Anyway, yeah, around there. That was an interesting thing to do, right? Like, let's examine a hero that is not a god.
Yeah,
right. He's not a billionaire.
Yeah.
He's not an adult. He's not Superman. He's not like an adult.
Someone who, you know, and in the beginning, he's not someone who completely knows right from wrong.
No. I mean, that's the right. I mean, that
he's an awkward teenager, and he screws up at the very beginning, and it, you know, costs him badly.
Right. John, do you want to tell us how Uncle Ben died?
Three times in like three different ways, though. I will just
I don't want to talk about Peter Parker much, but the idea that Kamala Khan has her life treated in a similar fashion, I think is great. I love that. It's not about, like, you know, it's not always about like stealing from the past to make your fist bigger and punching somebody in the face.
Not all. Which, but it's nice that's also there.
I mean, who among us hasn't done that? But using that to introduce people, to introduce readers of the comic to a community and a way of life that they may feel doesn't connect to them necessarily, but I think ultimately they will find so many,
have an insight into that community.
Exactly, they don't readily have an insight to it, but I think the commonality, the basic commonality of just being good human beings, will come through, and I love that. I think that's brilliant.
So the writer who is working on it, her name is Bisha K. Ali, and she has written for both the series Sex Education as well as the Four Weddings and a Funeral revamp that was on Hulu recently.
So I've heard good things about Sex Education.
Yes, same. So
I haven't watched it, but I watched a couple
episodes. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Anyway, so good.
John, your wife actually called me to talk about your inability to, you know.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I encouraged her to tell you to just watch Sex Education.
Moving right along.
Yeah. It's nice the adult is back.
Yeah. So we have two other shows there as well. I mean, She-Hulk, obviously, who is a longtime fixture in the Marvel Universe, but has never been seen in live action as far as... did she appear ever in the old TV show?
No.
That's a good question.
I don't think so either,
but...
Gotta look it up just because I'm super curious.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would be shocked because I think I would have remembered except that. Like, also, I would have seen a meme about that. Right?
Wow. Like, okay, hold on. This is great. There was a live-action motion picture planned in the early 1990s with Brigitte Nielsen. And there is literally there are PR photos of it, but the movie was never finished.
Thank goodness.
So, do you want to drop that in a super secret chat line?
You want to slide into my DMs with this?
Yeah.
The picture that I just sent you is not relevant, but if you go to the television section, there is a picture. Yeah, so, and always, I think a fascinating character.
This is way too sexified. What the hell's up with this photo?
You know, obviously the most interesting parts of She-Hulk are, one, unlike Bruce Banner, she basically more or less starts out having the, like, balance of both her superpowers and her...
She can control when she switches, and she has, like, perfect diction, and like, she remembers everything when she's in the Hulk form.
Yeah, turns out women, and not dummies.
In later ones, she's pretty much... I feel like she's almost always in her quote-unquote Hulk form, but, like, that's just her de facto thing. And she's a lawyer.
I love it when she's in a suit and like doing lawyer stuff,
and I kind of hope that, like, that's where they go with this in some ways, right? Like, because that seems like an interesting angle. It's not a thing you've seen before. It's, you know, I think that's interesting rather than having to maintain the dual personas. If we're really linking this into the MCU in a world where everybody's like, well, Bruce Banner slash Hulk is now a celebrity where people, kids want to take selfies with him. Like, people will just kind of roll with, yeah, there's this giant green lawyer lady.
Right.
Cool, whatever.
Yeah. Big deal.
So I'm kind of interested in seeing how that, where they're going with that.
So I have seen this Bridget Nielsen photo. Let me just scroll up to it here. That's cool. Makes sense. But I don't know. I think the character is, I'm really curious about what they actually do with this show. Have they announced anybody yet?
No, all this stuff is way too early for casting.
Right.
I mean, just announced that they're doing it, and they,
if the other ones aren't coming until next year, then you know,
this is probably spring 2021 at the very earliest.
Yeah. Right.
So, but the big one I've got questions about is Moon Knight, because
you know what? I saw what you did there. I knew you wanted to talk about Moonlight immediately, and you went to the left of it, went to the right of it.
Now we're going
straight. This is what you want to talk about. This is what you want to talk about. You want to talk about Moonlight.
Well, because,
like, don't just pretend. Come on, man.
I know I talk a good Moonlight game, but my Moonlight, like, actual Moonlight knowledge is actually fairly recent, like in the last few years. Because I knew who the character was, but I had not read a lot of the runs. And I think the
But just so that the readers know, in our Slack, we just shout you with Moon Knights. Like, we have like a custom Moon Knight thing.
It's in my name, I believe, in that Slack too. Like, it's like the little icon that shows up next to my name in the
Slack.
Come on, brand. That all goes back to the Superhero Spectacular from several summers ago, where I think I defended
Moon Knight. You just kept picking Moon Knight over Batman.
I'm a bad person, and I just like griefing Tony. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Oh, I finally got to meet Tony at a wedding.
That's true. That's true. He's a real person.
Yeah, he's okay. He's okay. Tony, man, it was great meeting you. I'm sorry. I'm just...
He likes Batman. It can't be that bad.
That's right.
Exactly.
I don't know. I don't know much of anything about Moon Knight either, particularly. I never read
the recent that much. Runs are very good, but they're super weird.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Well, and I think the interesting angle potentially to take with Moon Knight is, you know, you could do an... if you want to go and you want to do it right, you probably actually have to spend some time actually thinking about, like, mental illness and, like, how do we treat that and how are we going to portray that? Because that is kind of in the more recent versions, that is kind of a fundamental aspect of this character, is that he has that as that challenge.
On the show, is he an actual superhero or is it a fantasy?
I don't know. I mean, in the comic runs, it kind of varies. There are some, especially in the more recent ones, there's a lot more, it's not quite psychedelic, but it has a lot more playing with, you know, what is real and who is this character. But, like, the whole idea that he essentially gets rescued by, you know, an Egyptian god is also kind of I feel like there's you got to be careful about how you do this.
Right. Yeah.
It requires some
at times, but at times, I mean, I read up on him after the, you know, I read like the Wikipedia entry on it, and supposedly he's also just a good fighter, right? He was like a Marine or something like that.
Mercenary,
And then and eventually he does have powers for a while, and then whatever the
Khonshu,
Egyptian god of the moon, takes the powers away from him.
Yes, there are some times where he does and doesn't, and he has a whole bunch of different identities, some of which are like different personalities almost. But he also has, even Moon Knight has different, like sometimes he appears in like a white suit, like suit and tie, with like a thing covering his head, like a mask. And then he has the actual like one that's more traditional where he's got like the cape and everything and the hood.
He's like a white Batman.
Yeah. Right.
Wait.
Batman's white. Sorry, Batman is pretty white.
But let me rewind that. He's a white clad Batman. Yeah.
But yeah. it's an interesting character, and I think there are some... I mean, a lot of the upside of the MCU in particular has been a chance to potentially rehabilitate characters who don't really work in a modern sensibility, you know, or they're dated, like, and whatever, mm-hmm. and so there's an opportunity
here. Iron Man and Captain America, who... That worked pretty well.
Yeah.
So
sure. Yeah, I mean, even just characters where it's like the fundamental premise. I mean, we took all our shots at Iron Fist, rightfully so, I think. And I think that's one place they didn't do a good job of saying this character as formulated needs some reconception for today's audience.
No, because they didn't update it. They didn't. They just kind of kept it the same, which was unfortunate, I think. But it seems to be. Oh, my God. Why don't you hit me with the movie name? Come on, we've been working together for years now. What's the name of the movie that's coming out? That's Iron Fist sort of adjacent.
Oh, Shang-Chi.
Thank you.
Sorry, I mean, I was blanking.
Yeah. Maybe could have done that sooner.
Sorry, I didn't know what you were going for.
Yeah, there was a lot of options.
Are you kidding? Like, come on, a kung fu movie? Anyway, it doesn't seem that they're making that mistake with that character and that.
Well, yeah, I mean, going with the right character, which, you know, maybe they should have just done something different with Iron Fist, probably. But they're doing Shang-Chi the way Shang-Chi should be done. You know,
would you be shocked?
They're not changing him that much from the comic book.
Right. Would you be shocked if by the end of the movie he became the Iron Fist?
I don't think they'll bring that into this in any way.
I think they need to let that sit for a while. All those properties need to sit for a while.
I think eventually I would imagine that they will retcon that stuff out of the MCU.
But what is interesting,
if they haven't already,
of course, about all these shows upcoming, as we've discussed a little bit before, is the fact that they are part and parcel of the MCU in a way that none of the previous shows have really been.
Yeah.
The closest I would say, as we've talked before, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. certainly had close ties, and Agent Carter. I think Agent Carter in some ways ends up being the most, it can get away with the most because it was set in a different time period and it also only ran for 2 seasons. So they didn't have a chance to get fouled up in like continuity.
Yeah.
Right.
But this will be very different in terms of how it's going to spool out these shows and link them in.
Yeah, and Wanda is going to be in the Doctor Strange film.
Right.
That kind of makes sense, because she is the Scarlet Witch.
It makes more sense in the comic book version than it does in the...
Yes,
agreed. Right. In the movie
You know, her powers come from the one of the Infinity Stones in the movies, as opposed to being, you know, she's in the comic
like
book,
an,
she's
a like an arcane.
And a witch, and an actual witch.
So, I mean, my supposition is that, like, the magic stuff will be wrapped up into the power of the stones. Like, it won't be magic. It'll be some weird manipulation of power, like an inherent, I don't know. Like the background radiation of the universe is, but
yeah, I mean, she says they tap into energies from other dimensions in order to cast spells. So
yeah,
the ancient one.
Yeah, like they try to
they mumbo jumbo their way.
Yeah, yeah, they Geordi and dated it up enough as much as they can to try to make it. Yeah,
right.
Couple other announcements I wanted to mention quickly, since the other also stuff came out of the Disney announcements this week. Black Panther 2 has an official release date, but it's not until 2022, I believe.
Yep.
Good. Do it right.
Yep. And I believe that's what they talked about that a little bit. We have a, I think, more or less full cast for Eternals.
They showed up on stage, right?
Includes both Richard Madden and Kit Harington. So Rob Stark and Jon Snow are both in the same movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're looking for work.
He's playing the swordsman, right?
Black Knight.
Black Knight. Okay, not the swordsman.
I don't know anything about the Eternals.
The sword guy is from the comic books wrong.
Yeah, I got to admit, I know very little if anything, about the Eternals.
Yeah, I think he, you know, he appeared in a, you know, like an Avenger comic book or two that I read million years ago, and was, you know, one of those background characters who just shows up, you know, like he right. fills out the cast and that's about it.
Right. And also, oh my God, what's his name? Kumail Nanjiani?
Kumail Nanjiani.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
He seems cool. He cracks me up all the time.
Yeah, so. I enjoy him a lot. I don't know if you guys have seen The Big Sick, but if you haven't,
yep.
No, I keep meaning. I forgot about that. I need to get that. I need to watch
that. Yeah, I have. It's amazing.
It has one of my favorite awkward jokes of literally all time that my wife and I laughed very hard in the theater, and then did one of those things where you look around and it's like, why is no one else laughing at that?
Nobody else really laughing. Funny. that's awesome. That's good. That's a good bonding moment. Yep. He cracks me up. Like, I did not care until I heard that he was attached to it. That's how much he cracks me up. So, despite me somehow not being able to remember his
name. And then a interesting move here as well. Gemma Chan, who played Minerva in Captain Marvel. Is in Eternals playing a totally different character, which is not the first time that has happened in the MCU, but it is, I think, the first time it's happened
in the movies.
The closest is Alfred Woodard shows up in Civil War briefly, and then, of course, is in Luke Cage as a totally different character. But that's felt like kind of separate enough. And Mahershala Ali was also in Luke Cage and will be playing Blade at some point in the movies.
Yeah,
but this is the first time we've had a character.
Is Blade going to be in the MCU?
Yes, they announced this.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know they announced it, but I wasn't sure that it was going to be like an MCU thing.
It was announced by Marvel, so I would assume so.
Wow.
But that has no date or anything. I think it's just like, this is a thing we're working on.
Yeah.
But this is the first
thing.
It's also happened.
Guess what? There are, I don't know, let's say 500 to 1,000 really talented actors working at any one time. That's not to say that there are not hundreds of thousands that are amazing, but not somebody you'd cast as a major role. If not millions. Eventually, recycling Mahershala Ali. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Of course you'd do that. he's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Who's going to complain?
Right. He is just... Because of
a slight continuity problem.
Right. Any of these people, like if you recycle them, wow, perfect. Do that because they're amazing. And you know what? I will come up... I mean, you know, if I'm a Marvel weirdo, I will come up with God knows what reason to make it make sense. I don't care.
Sure.
It's fine. It's a comic book. Don't worry about it. Take the best people to do the best things. That's all.
Yeah. Plus, they're like alien. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter.
I am generally on board. The only thing that makes the Gemma Chan thing weird is just that these movies are so close in proximity, and that character is the Captain Marvel character, Minerva, is significant enough that you felt like, I mean, they specifically.
She kind of blows her up, though.
She's a fairly prominent villain.
She might have survived that, but it looks like she kills her in that movie.
Right. But she's not a totally insignificant character in the Captain Marvel franchise. But they could also easily go in a totally different direction that character never needs to come back, anyways.
Right.
But they wasn't she under like makeup and stuff?
I mean, she's blue.
Yeah, she was like a Kree, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Like, no, I'm just saying if you wanted to bring that character back playing two separate characters like intermittently seems weird, but it's fine. Whatever. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah,
it's just,
well,
it's interesting
choice. Here's the thing. If Karen Gillan played another role and actually had hair and acted more like she did on Doctor Who or any of the other things she'd done, then what she did previously, would you notice?
I mean it's not like the dealing with the whole problem of like who plays Samuel L. Jackson roles in the Marvel. Sorry. I'm still laughing over that terrible article I think I sent to you guys at some point. Anyway, who plays Mace Windu in the MCU? Is it Samuel Jackson?
Right. Who cares?
Or is it Nick Fury? I think it's Nick Fury playing
it's
Samuel.
It's Carl Weathers.
It's
Carl
a huge Weathers, plot hole. That's right. It's that's a huge right. plot hole, Dan.
It's huge, yeah. huge plot hole.
Okay, do you want to cast, okay, we're going long, but very quickly, let's round this out by casting these shows.
Oh my Who God, plays... I'm not prepared for this.
Yeah, neither am I.
No, me neither. That's, are you kidding me, guys? Like, nobody expects this to be pro. Who plays Moon Knight?
Oh my God. All right, someone on the older side, like more like middle-aged.
Keanu
I would
Reeves.
Say, oh man, that'd be great.
No,
it's not going to be him though.
Too much,
isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it?
Okay, John, you had your that. Say. Okay, you're done. You had your say, Dan.
Oh no, I can't even think of like anybody's name right now. There's too much pressure. Like this is why I'm not in casting. I'll come up with it like next week. I'll have it.
Yeah. See, I think you need to lay the groundwork and like try, you know, and really come up with an.
You can all come up with the groundwork and figure it out and call me next week. I'll be here.
You didn't say anybody.
I saw somebody suggest.
Oh
for,
yeah,
for
John,
She-Hulk,
really?
For, okay,
Timothy Olyphant.
Okay.
Oh, he's really good. I do like him a lot.
He's really good. I'm not sure he's right for that role, but
I really love him.
I would
he's
love to see
funny.
Him in the MCU,
he's funny.
Sure.
He could pull it off. Yeah. I really
it depends
think he could
what
pull
tone you're going for.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, right. Oh God, come on. Are you trying to wiggle out from under Timothy Oliphant?
No, I'm just saying if it's
nobody
dark.
Wiggles out from Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah, no, you wiggle under that. What you want to do is wiggle under that guy. Come on.
Also, can I do a celebrity gossip thing? Because I just saw this on the page that I had open,
okay,
and I love
okay.
it.
Okay, don't make me sad. If you're going to
no,
say
no,
something
it's good.
Better.
It's funny. Okay. I enjoy it. It was Gemma Chan, currently dating Dominic Cooper, who played young Howard Stark. So,
oh, yeah.
like, there's,
oh, yeah.
there's some MCU right. headcanon you can have. I will say, I saw somebody suggest, I think it was a Twitter thread going around, that, do either of you guys watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, wow. John.
Well, so wait. I'm a year behind, but yes. I mean, oof. Yeah.
Anyway, somebody suggested Stephanie Beatriz, who plays Rosa on that show, should play She-Hulk. And I was like, yeah, that's really good casting. I would totally watch that.
Not bad. My first pick is Gina Torres.
Oh, Gina Torres would also be excellent. I would be on board for that as well. And she's played a lawyer on a bunch of shows. So
yep.
she's got that down.
Yeah, she's killer. She's big. She's amazing.
Yeah, she would be awesome, actually. I would really, I'd be all in favor of that.
Yeah, I mean, going all the way back to
Firefly?
Serenity.
Yeah.
Firefly, thank you. Amazing. I would love to see her as She-Hulk. Just, she'd kill it, for sure. What was the other show we talked about?
Ms. Marvel, I think you might need an unknown for that one.
I think you do want no one, and
yes,
I would
definitely
advocate for that. Oh wait, along those lines, our pal John August is looking to cast a 15-year-old blind woman for a movie that he would like to direct. You could find the information on scriptnotes.com/casting, I believe. If not, just sorry, John August. Sorry,
I screwed it up. This is a real thing.
No, this is. I swear to God,
I know
like,
that.
This is 100%. This is 100% legit. I screwed up the URL. It is johnaugust.com/casting. If you know anybody that may be interested, please drop John a line. He's a legitimately really really good guy, and if he cannot find a somebody that suits this role, he will not make the movie. So, yeah. Okay. Drop him a line. Anyway, I'm getting texts from my friends I'm getting texts from my friends.
This 45 minute episode has turned into one of the longest ones we've done.
I know. I am literally like, man, people are texting me. It's like, hey, let's wrap it up.
I gotta go.
I'm literally trying to get like a blind actor some work, and you're like, okay, man, wrap it up.
Yeah, right.
It's not, wrap it up. Look, what kind of jerks am I working with?
Do you have any casting directors? How many agents do you think listen to this episode?
None. No, it's okay, fine. Whatever. Yeah,
we appreciate it. It is a public service, and I hope it all works out. But this show, which is about superheroes, must now come to a close for this week. Don't worry, though. Because we will be back next week, all of us, and we still don't have a regular ongoing show to talk about, so we have plenty of time.
So it's probably going to run long.
It's probably going to... I don't understand.
I do love that you say, don't worry, and I think everybody is kind of worried.
Like, we have taken mass... taken mass out of next week's show and put it into this show happened.
All right.
We'll be back next week. Yeah. I just want to thank my cohorts. John Moltz, thank you so much for being here.
Dan, it's great to have you back.
It's a pleasure. Guy English, thank you for holding down the fort in my absence.
Oh, that fort's a little bit bust.
it's on fire.
I broke your little fort, Dan. I don't know what to tell you.
Is this like that scene in Community where Donald Glover comes back in and everything's on fire? Is that basically what happens?
That's pretty much it. He comes in with a pizza.
We have a new closing, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, go ahead then.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, take it away, John.
Take a puff and call it a night.
Take a puff and call it a night.